age we live, every time we come in contact with someone, very often we're inclined to ask a question. Because when you ask a question, it has to generate a response. Very often when we go about our day-to-day living, when we come in contact with someone, in order to begin a conversation, we might ask a question. Perhaps you would say, well, how are you? Are you getting on all right? Maybe you would say to your neighbours, did you go on holidays this year? Did you have a good time? What was the weather like? Young lads, when they're getting together, of course, they chat about sport and different other things. Maybe they would ask each other, well, did you see the match last night? Can you tell me who scored? What was the outcome of the match? Maybe farmers, when they get together, maybe perhaps they'll ask the auctioneer, well, do you think the price of cattle is going to drop much more? How much worse is it going to have to get until it starts to rise? Why, we're always inclined to ask questions. Questions make up a large part of our vocabulary. When you turn on the television or the radio, when you listen to the news, there's the reporter, and he'll be asking questions of a politician or of a military general, of how the situation is going in Iraq or Afghanistan or somewhere else. Why, we're always asking questions. Questions make up a large part of our vocabulary every day that we live. When we turn to the scriptures, we find that there are many varied and important questions that are asked in God's word. Right back there in the beginning of scripture, in the book of Genesis, we have God himself coming to Cain and asking him a question. Where is Abel, thy brother? And of course you know the story of what happened and how Cain killed Abel. And in response to the question that God asked Cain, Cain replies to the Lord with a question of his own. I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? He denied any knowledge of his brother's whereabouts. When you go over into the book of 1 Kings in the chapter 10, there we read of the Queen of Sheba and how she had left her homeland, come up to the city of Jerusalem because she had heard of the fame of Solomon. She came with a purpose to ask him questions. She came to prove him, the Bible tells us, with hard questions. And through the knowledge that the Lord had given to Solomon, the wisdom that was given to the king, there wasn't one question that he wasn't baffled by. He was able to answer them all. When we come to the New Testament, well, we find that there are many important questions asked. There's a very important question asked in Acts chapter 16 by the Philippian jailer. What must I do to be saved? And here in our scripture reading tonight, in Matthew chapter 27 and the verse 22, I believe we have one of the most important questions that you will find in the whole of the Bible. It's a question that is asked by Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor. And there in verse 22, Pilate asks the question, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? We're taking this question tonight as our text, and we're calling it greatest question, life's greatest question. First of all, we say that this is a question that demands attention. Here we have the Roman governor, Pilate, himself. And this day he is brought face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. No doubt when Pilate awoke from his sleep that morning, perhaps it just felt like any other day. Maybe the sun was shining just as normal. Perhaps as Pilate lay there, wakened in bed, he was thinking that just another normal day is lying in front of him, as he would have got up out of bed and washed and taken some breakfast. Maybe he was pondering over in his mind the normal routines of life. He thought that just another normal day was lying in front of him. Maybe there wasn't much different to that morning than any other morning. Yet unknown to Pontius Pilate, the Lord had decreed that that day would be a day of days in the life of Pilate. Because on that never to be forgotten day, the Roman governor was brought face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. And here we can see Pilate standing there in that judgment hall. And with precision and alarming swiftness, he's brought to the crossroads of life. His attention is drawn fairly and squarely to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he asks a most important question. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Maybe you can picture him in your mind's eye as he's sitting there on his judgment throne. And his conscience, it's troubling him. He knows fine well why the Jews had delivered Jesus up to him. They hated the Saviour. They wanted nothing to do with him. Didn't they testify that we will not have this man to reign over us? He knows that it's out of envy that they had delivered him to him. And here we can see that this man's conscience begins to trouble him. He's a worried man here. He's at the crossroads of life. And he tries to dodge the issue of dealing with Jesus Christ. He tries to pass the responsibility on to someone else. And of course, you know the story of the crucifixion. Pilate, perhaps there's a moment of relief appears on the horizon for him. He thinks, I'm going to get out of this. He hears that Jesus is from Galilee. Well, sure, Herod's in charge of Galilee. I'll send the Saviour to Herod. I'll let Herod deal with him. I'll let Herod make the decision, the choice. And of course, you know the story after Herod had dealt with Christ. He mocked him, sent him back to Pilate. Oh, here's a man, and he's in a real dilemma. He doesn't want to face up to the responsibility of dealing with the Lord Jesus Christ. His first plan and scheme had failed. He tries something else. At that time, the Jews had a tradition of releasing a prisoner at the feast of the Passover. And he comes up with another scheme. Well, sure, I can release unto them. I can offer them the most notable prisoner in jail. Sure, they'll definitely not want Barabbas running loose in society. Isn't he a murderer? Isn't he a thief? Think of all that he has done. Sure, they'll definitely not want him running loose in society. They're bound to pick the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, when he gave the crowd the choice, he's a disappointed man. For the crowd wanted nothing to do with the Saviour. You can picture there the crowd, they're beginning to get uneasy. There's a riot here in the making. The last thing that Pilate needed was a riot among the Jews at Passover time. What would happen if Caesar found out about this? Pilate would be in trouble. And here's Pilate, and he comes up with a compromise. He tries to dodge the issue again. He comes up with a compromise. I'll scourge Jesus. I'll give the Saviour a beating. And I'll let him go. But we read here that the crowd wanted nothing to do with Pilate's compromise. Here we have him asking a question. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Dear sinner friend, maybe you have come to God's house this evening. Maybe just for you. This is just like another normal Sabbath evening. Maybe there's nothing different about this Sabbath evening to any other Sabbath evening. You're here in God's house tonight, just as you have been in other Sunday evenings. Thank God that you're here. Friend, there's nothing wrong with coming to God's house twice on the Sabbath day. It's a good habit to get into. Maybe you're more faithful in your attendance at God's house here in Garva than some of God's people. Thank God for that. Sinner, it's not by chance that you're here. You're here tonight in the providence of God. And just like Pilate on that day, he was brought to the crossroads of life, so too are you. Here this evening in this meeting, you're brought to the crossroads of life. Why? Because a question is being asked to you. What will you do with Jesus, which is called Christ? Oh, here's a question that perhaps you've been trying to dodge. You've been trying to dodge it for years. Maybe for months and years. You've been putting off the issue of dealing with the Lord Jesus Christ and his free offer of salvation. You think that you've survived up until this point in time. And sure, I can survive again after tonight is finished. You think that I'll have plenty more opportunities of getting right with the Lord. Oh, dear friend, don't be a fool. For tonight could be the last night when you will ever hear the voice of God again. Accidents happen. Accidents happen on a regular basis in our province. There's car accidents that happen on the roads. There's accidents that happen in the workplace. Down in the farm. A few weeks ago there was a farmer, Newton Butler, County Fermanagh, gored by a bull and killed. Today's in God's eternity. We heard of another farmer around Ballymoney fixing a potato harvester. Today's in God's eternity. It fell on him. Oh yes, death is no respecter of persons. It comes to those whom the world will never know. And it comes to those who are well known. You think of some well known politicians that have died in recent weeks. Next Prime Minister Ted Heath, today is in God's eternity. Robin Cook, Mo Mullen. Death comes to those who are high up in society, to those who are at the bottom of the ladder. It's no respecter of persons. Thank God tonight that you're here in God's house. Maybe you think that you've survived up until this point in time. You think that you'll get away with it again. I'll have another chance. I'll have another opportunity of getting right with God. My friend, the Lord has lengthened out the length of your days. God has been good to you. Here you are tonight in God's house. Gospel is presented once again to you. Thank God for His long-sufferingness towards you. It's only by the mercy and grace of God that He hasn't cut you down. And that tonight you're in a lost hell. A lost sinner's hell. You're here under the sound of the gospel tonight, and it's not a fluke. The Lord Jesus Christ is presented to you. Oh, just like God had decreed that day would be a day of days in the life of Pilate, so too the Lord has decreed that you should be here. My friend, Christ demands your attention. Your attention is required tonight. Who knows, but you might never hear that gospel message again. You might never hear the call in the gospel from heaven again. Oh yes, you might hear the gospel again. But you mightn't hear the voice of God in the gospel again. Because God tells us, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Here Pilate found out when he asked Christ a question that he answered him to never a word. Dear friend, that could be the case with you after this meeting is over. Tonight could be the last time when you will ever hear the gospel invitation again. Oh yes, you might live for another 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. Who knows? This could be the last time when the voice of God will really speak to you. You need to remember that neither Pilate nor Herod passed immediately into the presence of God when they said no to Christ. They lived for some years after the crucifixion, but this was their last opportunity. I wonder if it was your last opportunity. Where would you be in God's eternity? I wonder, will the gospel of grace from this pulpit tonight have been preached to you in vain? Oh friend, don't be a fool. Here's a question. Here's a question that demands your attention. Notice also that it's a question that demands analysis. Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? What did He come to do? Here we have Pilate and Herod. They're trying to analyse who Jesus was. And of course, Pilate knew fine well who Jesus was. He knew who this prisoner was standing in front of him. How did he not know? How could he not know? Because the miracles that Christ was doing, it was a topic of conversation on everyone's lips. Pilate was in charge of that part of the Roman Empire. He had his spies in the land. He had his informers in the land, keeping him up to date with what was going on in Israel. It was a topic of conversation on everyone's lips. How the Lord Jesus Christ fed 5,000 people. with 5 loaves and 2 fish. People were talking about the feeding of the 4,000. People were talking about the man with the legion, the man with the devils, who lived in the graveyard, who couldn't be tamed. A wild man, as we would say here in Ulster. Yet the Lord Jesus Christ saved them. He was sitting there clothed in his right mind. People were talking about the miracles of Christ. How could Pilate not know? He was well informed of what was going on in that part of the Roman Empire. Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? Thank God tonight, he is God. The Bible tells us he is Emmanuel, meaning God with us. He is Jehovah Tsidkenu, as Jeremiah chapter 23 tells us, which translated means the Lord our righteousness. He is the Son of God, but he's also God the Son. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the eternal Son of God. God is eternal. Christ is the eternal Son of God. My friend, when did anything begin that was eternal? Christ was there in the beginning. Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? He is God. What did he come to do? He came to save sinners. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. The Lord Jesus Christ has come into this world with a definite purpose in mind. It was to save. He came to save rich sinners, poor sinners, good living sinners, dirty, vile, rotten sinners, proud sinners, humble sinners. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. Thank God he came to seek and save that which was lost. Dear friend, if you're here tonight without Christ, then you're a lost sinner. My Bible tells me, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And without Christ, you will be lost forever. The Lord does have prepared a place for those who reject him. My people today think it's a myth. The Lord Jesus Christ preached more about hell than he did about heaven. And hell is a reality. It is that place that the Lord has prepared for the Christ rejecter. It is the eternal destiny of the soul that says no to the Saviour. And where Jesus is, you'll never be. If you hold on to your sin, I don't care what kind of a life you're living. Or you might be a clean living sinner. Doesn't matter. It makes no odds, friend, what way you go to Belfast down the motorway. If you take the carriageway to Belfast, it makes no odds whether you go on the inside carriageway or the fast carriageway, it'll still take you to Belfast. Dear friend, it makes no odds what side of the broad road you're walking. Either the clean side or the filthy side, it's still the broad road. It still leads to that one destination. That lost sinner's hell. You might be living a clean and a moral and an upright life. You might say, well, I'm not a threat to anyone. You might attend God's house regularly. Dear friend, your righteousnesses count for nothing. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of God. Your filthy righteousness will perish with you in a lost sinner's hell. Lord Jesus Christ makes no difference between a good living sinner and a filthy, vile, rotten sinner. They're still sinners. Thank God the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. The story is told of a man by the name of Mel Trotter. Mel Trotter was a hopeless drunkard. We could say that Mel Trotter was a dirty, vile, rotten sinner. He was caught up with the sins and the vices of this world. He was addicted to alcohol. And there was a time when his little baby boy, his only child, lay sick in the cot. And his wife gave him some money to go down into the town and buy medicine for the child, in the hope that the child would get better. That evening, Mel Trotter went off with the money in his pocket, and he bypassed the chemist. And he went straight down to his local pub with the money that his wife gave him. He cashed it in for drink. That night, Mel Trotter got so drunk that he didn't come home. And by the time that he came home the following day, his little baby boy was lying dead on the cot. When he came home that afternoon, he recognized what a blunder he had made. He recognized what a fool he had been. And he began to cry and to sob and weep like a child uncontrollably. Because of his addiction to alcohol, the family didn't have much money. And a friend of the family took pity on them, thinking that this wee lad needs something to wear in his coffin. So he headed off into the town and he bought the wee lad an outfit of clothes and a wee pair of red shoes. And the night before the funeral, Mel Trotter was up in the bedroom looking into that little white coffin at his little boy. May the temptation of drink came over him again. He took the clothes and the shoes off the wee fella and he headed off into the town. He went down to his pub and he sold them to a friend in the pub. With the money that he got from the clothes, he cashed it in for drink. That evening, Mel Trotter got drunk. In fact, he got so drunk that by the time he had sobered up and came home the next day, he had missed the funeral of his only child. You might say to me, well, that's a picture of a sad and a pathetic individual. But thank God the message doesn't end there for Mel Trotter. For shortly after the funeral, there was a friend who took him along to a gospel meeting. And he heard the words of how Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. He recognized his need of a Savior. He got saved. He began to do a work for the Lord. He began to give his testimony. How he used to say the Lord had lifted him from the guttermost to the uttermost. The Lord had given him a new sense of direction in life. Old things had passed away. All things had become new. And during his lifetime, he founded over 50 rescue missions for the down and outs and alcoholics across the United States of America. Dear friend, you might say to me, well, I'm not as bad as him. You mightn't be as bad as Mel Trotter was. You mightn't have sunk to the depths that man has. Friend, it makes no odds. You're still a lost sinner in the sight of God. Mr. Spurgeon said these words, your clean living and your high moral standards might keep you out of jail, but it's only the blood of Christ that will keep you out of hell. My, how true those words are. Pilate here couldn't find cleansing in water. He tried to wash his hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. He couldn't do it. Mr. Spurgeon was right. It's only the blood of Christ that will keep you out of hell. I wonder tonight, friend, are you saved? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Thank God the hymn writer tells us that burdens are lifted at Calvary. Friend, that includes yours. Your burden can be lifted at Calvary tonight. Oh, we don't point you to the wood of the cross. We point you to the Christ of the cross. The one who died there in the sinner's place. The one tonight whose arms are stretched out to you. The invitation is there, come and drink. Come to the fountain of living waters. The Lord Jesus Christ is that fountain. Oh, friend, tonight don't harden your heart. You need to come to Christ tonight when there's still time. Here's Pilate, and he's asking a question. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? It's a question that demands our attention. It's a question that demands our analysis. Lastly, it's a question that demands an answer. Here, for Pilate, it was now or never. He either had to choose Christ now or reject him forever. Here's a man whose career was hanging in the balance. He doesn't know what to do. He's in a real dilemma. And he begins to listen to the crowd. What did the crowd say? Well, John 19 and verse 12 tells us, if thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Pilate was swayed by the crowd. He let the crowd do the choosing for him. A sinner friend tonight, you too have a choice to make. You have an answer to give to this question. For when somebody asks you a question, it does demand a response. Here's a question from Scripture tonight that you must answer. Dear friend, only you can answer it. Oh, there's no point in thinking that your family will answer it for you, or your friends will answer it for you. No. Dear sinner, the ball's in your court. You have a choice to make tonight. You can give one of two answers to this question. You can give a positive answer. Say, I'm coming to the Saviour. I am coming to the cross. Poor and weak and vile. Save me, Jesus. Save me now. Or you can say no. Maybe you think, well, I'll just say nothing. I'll not really give an answer. I'll postpone giving an answer. Friend, if you try and postpone giving an answer tonight, in effect, you're saying no. No Christ for me. You can leave this meeting tonight putting off the issue of dealing with Christ, with the possibility of being lost forever. Pilate here was at the crossroads of life when he asked this question. Here's a question he's asked to you. I wonder which direction from the crossroads are you going to go? You can't be neutral on this matter. Pilate here said no for the last time. He went the way of the crowd. History tells us 7 years after the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, Pilate was dethroned by Caesar. He was stripped of his royal robes, so much for staying loyal to Caesar. Where did it get him? Tonight he's in a lost sinner's hell. Pilate died a condemned man. Oh, dear friend, tonight don't be a fool. Maybe you know that you're on the wrong path, but you don't want to face up to what's right. You want to hold on a wee bit longer in your sin. Dear sinner, don't sacrifice your soul for human praise. Human praise is fickle. It's feeble. It's here today and it's gone tomorrow. You need Christ tonight. You need his cleansing power. Remember, friend, if you bypass the cross, you bypass heaven. Where Jesus is, you'll never be. There was a little girl who was helping her mother one day to bake in the kitchen. And she began to ask her mummy different questions about the Bible. And she says to her mother, Mum, do you know when Jesus is coming back? The mother said, no, darling, I don't. The wee girl says, Mummy, if you don't know when Jesus is coming back, wouldn't we need to be ready? Packed up and ready to go. Let me ask you, friend, are you packed up and ready to go? Have you made your peace with God? What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? It's a question that demands an answer. Here in the case of Pilate, it demanded an immediate answer. And sinner, the answer that you give to this question will determine where you will spend eternity. I wonder, as we close our message, is Christ yours? Are you saved? Have you been to Jesus, in the words of the hymn writer, for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? I wonder tonight, what will you do with Jesus, which is called Christ? What's your answer going to be to life's greatest question? Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer.